Breaking Bad and Starting Good, Part 2. Today on Life Talks, we're going to be talking about habits and how to start good ones. You know, usually when we talk about these kinds of things, Dan, we are we talk more about the breaking the bad, and we talked about that in our last episode. But this time we're going to talk about how to not just remove things from your life, but how do you add new things to your life that are beneficial. I'm Ben. I'm here with Dan. We are the teaching pastors at Life Fellowship here in Cornelius, North Carolina. And Dan, we did a decent job of explaining, you know, when we talk about the new year and establishing hopefully growth initiatives for our life, one of the ways we grow is by subtracting, mm-hmm. right? And so it's taking out the bad, it's cutting away the bad, or refining the dross in your life that needs to be gone. But we know this, you never subtract without adding. You know, mm-hmm. if you're just saying, I'm going to stop doing all these bad things and don't replace them with good things, good habits, usually don't get very far.
Yeah.
So today we're going to talk about how do you establish new habits, new patterns of action and thinking, that lead to that new walking in newness of life that the Bible talks about, that we are in this conformity into Jesus Christ, and that what the conformity of Jesus Christ means is I'm going to stop sinning. You know, I think about there's this passage, I can't remember the exact verse in Romans 12, but it says, let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Like mm-hmm. there's this both and thing. I have to abhor what is evil, but I also need to cling to what is good. And so I think we're talking about the clinging to what is good today. Why do you think when we think about transformation, most of us just tend to think about, I'm going to stop doing bad and not thinking about the good things that we need to start doing? Why do you think we sometimes make that mistake?
Well, I think for many of us, at least, it is just a matter of, it's almost a conditioning. Mm. You know, Satan is the great accuser. Mm-hmm. He's constantly telling us that we're not good enough. We don't hit the mark. And I think in our hearts, most of us do have a desire to make the most of the moments, the life that God has given us, to be able to grow. Mm-hmm. You know, if you get to a point where you're not trying to grow, you probably have other issues of despair and depression and so forth. The problem is, the other thing is just mere apathy. Mm. You know, I've met over and over again, you know, people who just have lost their inspiration. They've lost their, in writing, we call it losing your muse. Mm. But, you know, they lose whatever it is that causes them to want to grow, to want to change and so forth.
Yeah.
And that's often during a kind of like a spiritual dead zone, mm-hmm. an emotional dead zone. Mm-hmm. And so, and again, I go back to, you're never going to change unless you make up your mind and develop a plan.
Yes.
And, you know, last time I read the quote by Emerson, but I just want to review it again in case you didn't hear this other episode. But he said this, sow a thought and you reap an action. Mm. Sow an act and you reap a habit. Mm. Sow a habit and you reap a character, sow a character, and you reap a destiny. Hmm. There are many people who want to accomplish great things with their life, but they want to just jump to that stage.
Right.
And that's not how life works.
It
begins with a thought, then you take action, then it becomes a part of your life. It's that habit, and then it becomes part of your character. It's who you are, and from there, the destiny awaits. And the reverse of that is true. And if you want a destiny that's destructive, that is empty or a dead end, you're going to sow all of those things and reap negative.
Hmm.
And so it is really important that we're intentional about this. And, you know, that's why the scripture talks so much about meditate, hiding God's word in our heart, meditate on it day and night. All of these things are, don't live the thoughtless life. Don't live the casual life. Don't let your relationship with God turn into just mere ritual, but rather let it be vibrant and alive. Don't just exist, invest.
I think that one of the things that, can be so true of us, Dan, is that we can be so passive in our own personal transformation journey. We almost wait for things to happen to us as mm-hmm. opposed to taking the initiative to say, like you just mentioned, having a plan. And I want you to go a little bit deeper into that, but how do we, what's the starting point? In order to establish new habits, good habits, what do we have to do? What are some common, you know, patterns and actions of people that do establish new habits? What do they do and how do they do it?
Yeah. Well, again, not everybody thinks the same way. I can only speak of my own experience, but as you know, I'm a planner.
Yeah.
And a failure to plan is a plan for failure.
Hmm.
And so to get to that point, I mean, it involves mental discipline. And the first thing is I have to agree that this is a plan that I will pursue.
Yeah.
I will force myself to do it.
Yes.
It's like going to the gym. I'm okay. So I know when I get back from Christmas break, back to the gym I go. It's been 10 months, pandemic. And that was never an excuse for me that was legitimate. It was always a convenient excuse.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the times we stop doing what we should be doing. It's a convenient excuse that causes it. So, but in order to do that, I'm honestly gearing myself up.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't do that, I will skip the first week and I'll never go after
it. Yeah,
I have to gear, and then I have to have a plan. When am I going to do it? I'm going to make sure that nothing gets in the way of that.
Yeah, yeah.
And if I don't continue to do that for a month, I will stop and never pick it back up.
Hmm.
So in other words, I have to not only have a plan to start it, I have a plan to continue it until it becomes a part of, until it becomes a habit, until it becomes a part of my character.
Yeah.
And then it'll change my destiny.
Yes.
You know, then I'm going to see the weight drop. I'm going to see my health improve. I'm going to do those things. Now, exercise is an easy one, but I think there are a lot of other areas, and I've got some we can talk about before we end the episode here, but the bottom line is you got to start somewhere, and it starts between your ears.
Yeah, I think making sure you said something. I can't remember when you said it last episode, but you have to get to the point where you're saying this. It's a decision. This is what I'm going to do. That mental battle of it doesn't matter how hard it is. I am going to. I've almost gotten to the point where I'm sick and tired of this, and I'm going to change no matter what.
Yep.
Like there comes, but, go ahead.
Well, this is something that's really, really key, and that is this: don't let crisis be the thing that you rely on to motivate you to make the positive changes.
Mm.
How many times have you seen somebody show up at church, and you're like, where have they been? I haven't seen them in years. They're in a crisis.
Mm.
They make an appointment. I need to see you this week.
Yeah.
My marriage is in trouble. Well, what happened? She caught him. He caught her. They're separated. Something big is going on. In other words, they don't take action until it is a mess. And then what do they want? A quick fix.
Yeah.
They want to make a quick deal with God.
Mm-hmm.
They want to make two counseling sessions, erased 10 years of bad habits, and get frustrated if it doesn't happen and quit.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to piggyback off that. That is so important because I believe if it's taken you a lifetime to establish bad patterns, it will take you a certain amount of time to establish new ones. I'm going to keep going back to my fingernail biting because that's just
it's such a great illustration.
It is
so disgusting.
It is personal, okay? and it's probably one of the few victories I feel in my life that I can point to and say, this is what God has done. This is not me. I'm not
next
saying
next week I'm going
to
find you
Ben
underneath
Rudolph.
Your desk nibbling on your finger ends.
Dan, don't speak that word against me, brother. I reject that word in the name of Jesus. But here's what I know. Here's what I've done in the past, because I probably try to stop biting my fingers 100 times, okay, in my life. I would go really, you know, I would do well for a week, 2 weeks, or even a few days, and then something would happen. I start biting my fingers again, and immediately I would plunge into the depths of, oh, I'm the worst. You know, mm-hmm. Shame comes on me. I start the negative thinking, the negative thoughts, and I think I would always. I would derail myself the moment I took a step back. One of the things I've learned in some of the, you know, own personal growth books that I've read and just some of the issues that God's taught me over the years is you cannot expect, if you expect that your growth journey is going to look like that, you know, if you're looking at a graph, like the line just continues to go, you know, right and up.
Yeah.
Like this nice, smooth, like,
never works.
Look at
that.
Like, that doesn't happen. That doesn't happen in business. That doesn't happen in life. That won't happen for you. What you're going to do is most life is like this. I took two steps forward and one step back.
Your graph looks like the Himalayans.
Yes. And so what I think I've learned, because I've tried to stop biting my fingers many times. I think the reason why I've stuck with it this long is because every time I do bite my fingers, I'm not like 100% clean, okay? But when I do, I stop myself in that moment and say, okay, I'm going to stop right now. And I don't plunge into the depths of the perfection has been ruined. Because what I want to get to is a place where I'm not biting at all. Mm-hmm. The times which I bite here and there and are much more, you know, the gap is widening.
Yes.
But if I do bite my fingers, I don't plunge to despair. I don't plunge into this self-condemnation, self-contempt. I'm a failure. I failed again. I think that kind of thinking is so dangerous, to expect two steps forward, one step back. But if I just understand, okay, what could I learn? I learned this from someone that helped counsel me one time, and they said, don't get angry, get curious. I think I've shared that on this podcast before. Mm. Most of the time we get angry at ourselves for our failures. Instead of getting angry with yourself, get curious about yourself. Mm. To say, okay, why was that a step back? Why did I take a step back in that moment? And if you get curious about yourself and not go to the self-contempt, self-condemnation, what you'll learn is, okay, there's a thought pattern that I need to correct, and then you correct it.
Yeah.
But I think if you go into this battle or to establish new habits, new ways of thinking, new ways of life, if you go in there expecting to look at this nice, smooth, you know, you will be disappointed, and you'll get sidetracked so easily, and you'll think, well, I tried and I failed again.
Yeah. And that's one of the other dangers too, is that you allow a single setback to turn the journey into yes. You quit the game. You and I both love to watch football. Mm-hmm. When they are three and out, or whenever, you know, the quarterback gets sacked, the game's not over. That series of downs may be over.
Right.
It may be more difficult to get the first down.
Right.
But the game is not over. When we make a mistake, when we relapse, when we nibble the nail, when we take the drink, when we click the wrong website, there's another choice that has to be made. Mm-hmm. And the choice is this going to be a situation where we sack the quarterback, but next time it may be second and 20, but we're going to give it a good shot? Or are we going to just say, all right, I'm going home?
Dan, that's a perfect illustration, because if you watch football, I'm not sure how many women watch football today, but if you're a guy that's watched football, you know, when there's been a bad series, what happens? The quarterback goes over and they're looking at that iPad or mm-hmm. that
went wrong.
What were they looking? They're looking, they get curious and they make adjustments. Oh, we see this is what they're doing. Let's go out and do this. So they always talk about halftime adjustments. Your entire life is a halftime adjustment.
Yeah.
You're constantly adjusting to the things that, oh, okay, the enemy's attacking me this way. I've got to shore that up, and let's do this now.
There were three games last week in the NFL that were won or lost in the last 30 seconds.
Hmm.
And for life, that's the reality.
Yeah.
We ought to continue to play the game until the clock runs out.
That's
and good. We ought to win it with the idea that we will run it. We're going to be victorious.
Yeah.
But I played the same game. You know, at lunch, I cheated and had the French fries instead of the Brussels sprouts, all right? Which, actually, that's true. I forgot to order Brussels sprouts, and I ordered French fries. Oh, I'm such a
fan. I hate it when I forget to do that.
Well, I actually like Brussels sprouts, particularly the ones with bacon on them.
Because
those are really good.
I like Brussels sprouts, too, but, you know, yeah.
But I cheated. You were there.
Yeah, I was there. I saw the fries.
And they didn't leave a single one on my plate, either, did I?
You enjoyed them.
Although I do appreciate you stopping me from licking the grease off. It was a little awkward, but appreciate it. but that does not mean then that I get to go home tonight and order up another round of fries. It doesn't mean that tonight I get to go home and have my peanut butter and cracker snack. What it does mean is that tonight I need to go back to the plan and work the plan.
Yes.
So often I've talked to people who they get into this cycle of failure and then relapse, totally relapse, failure,
totally.
Then rather than failure and reconfiguring, right. Finding out why,
yes. Yes.
Being curious, and then saying, okay, next time I'm going to get to the 30-yard line instead of the 50-yard line.
Yeah.
I'm going to take it 20 yards further, and then eventually we do make the score.
I think that's one of the things. We only have about 6 minutes left, and I want to hear because you had some things I want you to share. But I do think what does sidetrack us the most with the self-contempt and the anger is, and this is an issue I've been studying personally, and I've shared some of my thoughts with you, but this idea of shame is so pronounced in our lives, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
That shame is that voice inside of you that tells you why you are so, why you're such a failure, why you're so screwed up, and that you'll never get it right. And I think that is that has been the common human experience for all of us from the time of our forefathers and foremothers, you know, Adam and Eve. There's been that voice of shame that makes us want to hide when we do something wrong, as opposed to standing up, learning, and saying, okay, I've learned something about myself. I'm not going to go down the road of shame and covering up. I'm not going to go down the road of self-contempt. I'm going to grow from this. And if you think that growth does not happen without failure, you are sadly mistaken.
Yeah.
So, okay, what do we do as far as just some categories or some practical things that you think we need to do or we could do to establish boundaries?
All right, so I've got five. I'll just go through them real quickly.
I said boundaries, I meant habits.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So I've got five categories of habits that these are things in which I will be setting goals and do on a regular basis. The first one has to do with inside Dan. This is the part that nobody has keys to this door except me. And involves my quiet time, my meditation, what I think and ponder on, because I love those moments. And so I need to be reminded of things that are part of my prayer and devotional life.
Mm.
These are the things that have to be intentional. You know, everybody's got ADD today, right? Everybody talks about, I'm ADHD, you know, whatever. But I think all of us do struggle with the discipline of the mind that requires us to focus on an intentional thought. So again, that's what I call the quiet time habits. The second are personal enrichment. These are things that make me smarter or that make me feel better about my life. And so those are, you know, I used to read 200 books a year. I don't read that many books anymore. As I've aged, my eyes are more difficult and life's busy and so forth. But, you know, set a goal of reading, whether it's one book a month or you know, one chapter a day. And then the other thing is just a new hobby. You know, and we make jokes about it, but a few years ago, I discovered the world of succulents, and that has become a hobby for me.
Yeah.
It's almost, to some extent, it's become a sickness, but I've got hundreds of them at home. You got to see my house.
New habits.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, but it is a release. And you know, sometimes in ministry, and if we come from a kind of a legalistic background, we can think, well, if this doesn't have something to do with eternity, if this has something to do with ministry, then I feel guilty about that.
Yeah, if I enjoy something in life, then I got to stop it.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that the truth? The pastor's really, feeling guilty about going fishing or playing a round of golf, which I never do, and part of it is because of the guilt. But in this, even though I'm renewed, I'm rejuvenated, you know, I use the excuse I grow them and sell them and give the money to Cuba, so, you know, I salve my conscience or whatever pathetic thing.
I can't enjoy something on its own. It's got to be for a kingdom purpose.
Yeah, but you know, get over that. Don't be sick like Dan. But those personal enrichment things, the things that just make you glad to be alive.
Yeah,
and then the third area is relational improvement. Because I'm an ISTJ, I'm an introvert, this is something I have to be intentional and working on. And it's developing a friendship.
Mm-hmm.
It's having a safe place to be real with someone. When my kids were at home, it was improving my relationship with my kids. And for all of us who, you know, the Lord has called us into a marriage, it is improving the relationship of our marriage. Now, I've been married for 36 years. You know, there are things that I know I can do to improve my marriage. I've learned at least that after 36 years.
Yeah.
But I, you know, if the Lord gives us another 10 or 15 or 20 years before one of us goes to heaven, I want those years to be the best ones. I don't want them to be just, you know, finishing it up, right?
Yeah.
And so relational improvement, and you mentioned the other episode or earlier in this one about having that date night.
Yeah.
You know, even though my wife and I are 36 years of marriage, Friday nights are date night. It's not fancy. It's Showmars and Walmart, but it is our time, and we guard it, and it is important to us. The other area is personal health, and that's diet, education, and intellectual development for the education. And I've already mentioned some of my goals there. And then the last thing, and perhaps the most important thing, is my spiritual growth. And that is even my private worship, my personal discipleship, investing in my own growth and in the growth of someone near me, and just what I do for ministry apart from that which I get paid. Which is something that's really important to me. It always has been, because I'm a professional minister, right? I hate that term, but that's how I'm viewed. But there are things that I do because I would do them regardless. I don't do any of my ministry because I get paid. But this becomes that thing that I separate and say, I do this because I love Jesus and I want to make a difference.
Mm.
And you know, I would say to a lot of people listening, as we come out of this pandemic, hopefully in a few months, and 2020 being the rough year that it was, I think this is something that a lot of people, you need to get back in church, folks. Let me just make it really, really clear. Mm. Quit, you know, I see you in Walmart. I see you out to eat. I see your pictures on Facebook where you're at Myrtle Beach and Disney World, all right? So don't tell me that you're afraid of the pandemic, that it affects you you know, Life Fellowship campus or your church's campus, but it doesn't affect you in the land of the mutant rodent, all right? Or Carowinds or Target or wherever else you are. It's time that we get serious about ourselves. Is meeting together in the house of the Lord for worship, for growth, for encouragement, for ministry, for all of the things that come with that, it's time.
Yeah.
And wear your mask if you need to wear a mask or whatever, but let's not live the duplicitous life. Let's not convince ourselves that it's safe one place and not the other, or at least be consistent.
Yeah. I think one of the things that's so good and so true, I think all those are great ideas and categories that we need to personally reflect on. One of the things I would just add before we finish our time here is this. I do believe that if you try to go through personal transformation in isolation, you will fail. We are creatures that were made for community. Dan, I know you said we got to get back to church. I would even say this, you need to get back into a life community.
You need to
find a group of people that will love you. And I'm not a big fan of the word accountability. Because I think sometimes we have the accountability that feels like a police officer, like, hey, I saw that you were speeding and we don't want that kind of accountability. We want the kind of accountability that really is genuinely concerned about us and how are you doing, whether or not you hit all your goals or didn't hit them. Accountability in the way of concern of, hey, how are you doing? How are you growing? What are you learning? The right kind of accountability is, hey, what have you learned about this process, as opposed to, did you check all the boxes? Mm. And I think that's really important. But don't go through this life if you think that you're going to accomplish the things you want to accomplish and establish new habits in isolation and not telling and not communicating openly, whether it's your spouse or your small group or another group of friends, to say, hey, this is something I'm working on this year. I want you to be aware of it, because I know I need encouragement and support and help and accountability and all of those things. Mm. Invite people into your life, because we are not like, we're not Tom Hanks on the desert island with Wilson, the volleyball, trying to make it, and, you know, I'm going to make it out alive. Like, that's not what life is about. Life is about doing things together. And even if you were to accomplish something on your own, I don't think it would be as satisfying as if you did it with someone. Mm. And when you do, I'll just add this, when you do accomplish that, when you do cross that finish line, when you do establish something new, one of the things I've learned is, celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
Celebrate the growth. Celebrate the goodness of God. Celebrate the work of God in your life. Because I know this, every time God did something great in the Old Testament, he had to remember it with a festival.
Yeah.
Festivals were a part of the worship of God. And if we don't establish festive memorials in our own life, sometimes we forget what God has done and how God has changed us. And so I would just encourage you, find a way to celebrate when God does something big in your life. So, man, breaking bad, starting good, it's a journey. It's a path that I hope all of us go on this year. And whatever God's calling you to do, spend some time in personal reflection, spend some time talking with your community, your spouse, your family, your loved ones, and be purposeful about a plan to grow and to develop into the image of Christ. Really enjoyed this conversation, Dan. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will talk to you next time.
You've been listening to Life Talks. Be sure to hit the subscribe button so you never miss a new episode. Share this podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to let your friends and family know about Life Talks. We'd love to hear from you as well, so leave a comment and let us know your thoughts on this episode or any other topics we've discussed. Life Talks is a ministry of Life Fellowship in Cornelius, North Carolina. For more information on Life Talks or Life Fellowship, visit lifecharlotte.com, or you can find us on Facebook at Life Fellowship Charlotte.